Queer.
It is Echo Wednesday today here in Brisbane, and we have mentioned that, yes, it's the whole city meets country, the Royal Queensland Show, to give its official title, Brisbane Exhibition, but everyone just calls it the Echo. And I think a lot of us diverse in gender and sexuality people, particularly us gay boys, we fantasize about what the country must be like. We fantasize about living on a farm. But there is a reality to living on a farm. And in a couple of weeks' time, you can see a magnificent debut film that sets life on a farm pretty real. I'm speaking with Frances Lee, the writer and director of God's Own Country, which, as I said, opens in 2 weeks on Thursday, 31st of August. Frances, thank you very much for having a chat with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is a very personal story. It's set in the land you grew up in, which is the western part of Yorkshire. Tell us your backstory, and then we'll get into the story of the film, God's Own Country.
Sure. So, yes, as you say, I grew up on the Pennine Hills, which are this kind of range of large hills in West Yorkshire, very isolated, very rural community. My dad is still a sheep farmer there on those hills. I now live back up there. I did escape when I was 20 to move to London to go to college. But for all the time I was away from Yorkshire, I could never get that landscape out of my mind. It felt to have totally informed me physically and emotionally. And so when I started to think about making film about 4 or 5 years ago, it felt a very natural place to explore. I had this very this terrible juxtaposition about it, where in some senses it felt incredibly creative and freeing, but it also felt very brutal, overwhelming, isolating, and I just wanted to explore that and explore the people who live and work there.
The area that you talk about is extraordinarily beautiful in that very brutal way. It's the result of the last great ice age, all the glaciers stripping the land of any major vegetation and leaving these stark hills, the fells, as they're called in Yorkshire. I've been through that territory and in the colder months of the year, and boy, I can tell you, watching that film, I know exactly how cold it felt. The beautiful part about the story, I think, Frances, is you've put real people up front by using actors to do that. You did something very interesting with getting the two actors, Josh and Alec, who play the two central characters, to actually get into role. What did you do?
Oh, well, firstly, I worked for about 3 months individually with Josh and Alec, and we built the characters from scratch, from the moment they were born until the moment we first see them in the film. And we learned everything about them in every minute detail, right down to, you know, what color socks did they prefer and where did they buy their socks and every single detail, as well as their emotional life, their physical life. And so when the boys came up to Yorkshire for the shoot, for the rehearsal period, I sent them out to work on farms. I knew I never wanted any fakery in this film. I wanted it to be incredibly truthful and authentic. So I knew I couldn't use any hand doubles or stunt doubles for the farm work. So the two boys went and worked for about 2 weeks on farms. Alec worked with my dad, and Josh went to work on the farm where we shot the film. And I knew that actors sometimes could just stand around and watch and take notes, but I wanted them to physically do the work, to know what it felt like, and to get very used to the animals. So they did 9, 10-hour shifts every day. They got very cold. That cold got in their bones. But they did become very natural with the animals. and they learnt to do everything. And also that the cold and the work physically changed the characters.
And that's something very true, I think. It comes across in the film because Josh, who plays Johnny, to me, doesn't look like an actor who's fresh out of college, which he is. This is, his, I think, his first major film. He doesn't look like that. He looks like a lad who's grown up in that area near Bradford, near Keighley, where you filmed it. He looks like a boy from that area. And, of course, Alec is Romanian, and that's the another part of the story we'll explore in a moment. But they both look like they grew up on farms, and you did get them doing everything. You know, hands going into animals' orifices and birthing lambs. And there were one or two other things. So if you are triggered by, you know, some fairly graphic animal life on a farm, maybe there's some times in this film you need to look away. But it, to me, and I can be squeamish as anyone, I thought it really added to the beauty of the story.
Mm, good, thank you. I mean, for me, it feels a very natural world. So that cycle of life, birth, life, death, is an everyday occurrence on a farm. And so that was something I really wanted to show, and I wanted to be very authentic about. You know, I hadn't seen on screen, in cinema or on TV, really, this world depicted in the way in which I saw it, how hard it is, how difficult it is, that life cycle. And so for me, it was just super important to be as honest as I possibly could be.
I love the fact that this is a film about two gay men, but it is not the Brokeback Mountain story of two gay men who have to hide who they are because of the times and the convention and the place. Johnny, for really, he is out, but he's not out in a way. It seems that he's said, because of circumstance, my father's had a stroke, I've got to run this farm literally by myself under the watchful eye of his paternal grandmother. And I must say that the Gemma Jones is magnificent. What brilliant casting of her. She is superb. But I have some other things I want to mention about that in a sec, so I'll just skip on. That he is a gay man who is out but doesn't believe he needs to be because it's the work. He has to work on the farm. That's life. And the same thing when Alec's character arrives, Giorgio. It's just, phew, it really takes your breath away. Did you want to make sure that this was a film that said, I'm not making any excuses about being gay or putting gay people on screen in scenarios where you may not think they should exist?
I mean, for me, it was just, you know, I knew I didn't want to tell a story about sexuality in a sense. One of the starting points for the film was me thinking about, you know, the hardest thing I'd ever had to do in my life, which was falling in love and was, you know, making yourself vulnerable enough to love and be loved. So I was very interested in looking at that. I wasn't particularly interested in telling a coming out story. You know, I think you're right. I think in all intents and purposes, Johnny is out. You know, people know. But this community isn't a community that is particularly articulate about anything. You know, they're not particularly emotionally demonstrative in that sense. And so they're not the type of people to sit around and talk about how they feel or their sexuality or any of those kinds of things. It's just a given, and they show their love in other ways.
It's interesting you say they're not a very demonstrative society or a community. I marvelled at the lack of dialogue in this film. This film, if you open this, I suspect, speaking as an actor, if I opened this script, I'd be going, where's all my lines? It's more like I could imagine Johnny looks like this, Alec does this. As you said, you created the characters with them workshopping, but the beauty is there's one, two words in most sentences, if they are needed at all. Have you had anyone say, do people really speak like that up there? Because I can totally imagine that that's it. That's the way you communicate. You communicate through a sub-feeling rather than lots of words.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, for me as a director or as a writer, the script, as you say, is fantastically detailed. So rather than dialogue, what the script contains is all the glances, the looks, the touches, all the subtleties of their relationship and how they communicate. You know, this is a harsh world. The days are long. The work is very physical and demanding. The weather is not terribly good. So, in a sense, everything is geared towards the practicality of the day, and therefore language becomes slightly less important in that sense.
Another thing I noticed about the film, Francis, is the lack of music. This is one of the few films I've ever seen where there is no underscore until the penultimate moment of the film, and I think that's telling. You are using a soundscape. It's all the sounds you would hear. Obviously, the movement of their clothing, their breath because of the close-ups, but then everything around. You hear the birds. You hear the sound of the wind across the fells. You hear the animals. You may hear distant traffic. That is tremendous. I've got to applaud you for that. I think that really makes the film, that the soundscape is an important part of developing the character and the story.
Thank you. Yes, I love sound. I find sound as important as the visuals. So I worked incredibly hard with my sound team, the sound designer and the sound recordist, to build, as you called it, a soundscape. And the sound is very well orchestrated. So I got my sound designer to go to all the locations and literally record hours and hours and hours of atmospheres, of different winds, of different birds, of different distant sounds. And then when we came to the edit, when I was doing the edit, that's when we started to build the sound. And every moment in the soundscape is very carefully orchestrated. So the birds are very specific. In terms of what type of bird it is, what that means, and where it is placed. The wind sounds are very specific. In fact, Georgi has his own wind sound, so when he arrives, he brings a different wind sound with him. And every time we see him, we hear that wind sound. And then once he's gone, the wind sound remains to remind Johnny of Georgi. Yeah, all of these things for me is just about layering, just adding more and more texture to the film and subtlety to the film.
I find the inclusion of Alec, whose last name I am not even going to try and pronounce because I know I'll make it complete. Say that. Sorry?
Alec Sekerani.
Thank you very much. Romanian is one language I just can't get my tongue around, so... That speaking of his arrival in the film, he is a stunning-looking man, but he exudes such sensitivity. It's a tremendously romantic character he portrays, and I would have to say that I have never seen on film recently such romantic and erotic combined together between these two men. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yes. Alec's character, Georgi, for me, represents like a maternal instinct, really. Georgi loves to care. He's a carer.
And it almost seems that that's exactly what Johnny is missing. His mother has left some years before. His grandmother is doing all she can, but her son has suffered a stroke and he needs care. And she, this was said earlier, Gemma Jones is phenomenal in this film, along with Ian Hart, who plays Martin, his dad. I'm extraordinary for central characters who are pretty much the only characters you see apart from one or two others who add something to the storyline, but it's a beautiful quartet.
I was so lucky with the actors. You know, as you say, Gemma Jones is incredible and playing against type. And for me, represents, you know, the archetypal Yorkshire mother, grandmother, beautifully, so, like with such a subtle grace. And Ian Hart, again, a wonderful, wonderful actor who really was very open with coming on this journey with me. Mm. And, of course, the two boys who are phenomenal.
And to me, the other thing about the film, Francis, is, again, it's not saying, oh, this is universal love story. We could have two men. It could be a man and a woman. It could be a trans person and a woman. It could be anything. No, it couldn't be. Because this is about two gay men, and you're very open about that, because for those who like visuals of extraordinarily handsome men completely naked, you're going to get it in this film, and you don't do it just fleetingly. It becomes a moment in the film that just goes, well, that's natural. That's what you do. You would do that. And I love that, yeah. Because it's saying, gay people, we aren't any different to anybody else, but this is our world and this is how we communicate.
No, absolutely. You know, again, the two words I use over and over again when describing the film are truthfulness and authenticity. Mm. And I try to be incredibly rigorous about that. So whatever position that, you know, that the characters find themselves in, I wanted to make sure I was being really truthful to that situation and to who they were.
And I think you've done that absolutely. I think it's extraordinary. And I don't think this is a film that you could say, well, only gay men are going to get it. Because in a year when the incredibly white Academy give an Oscar to a black film about diverse gender and a whole range of things, if they can see the quality in filmmaking in that, then there's no reason why people across gender spectrums and orientations and sexuality will not find the beauty in God's Own Country. I just want to finish by saying, I don't want to give away spoilers, but I am so thrilled by the ending. Is the ending for you real? Do you believe that what has happened? Because I've got a theory about what happens to that farm in the next 3 to 5 years. Knowing what some farms are like in that area, yeah, artisan cheeses, here we come.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me, do I find the ending realistic?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely I do. I think these two characters work so hard for the ending that it would have been perverse not to deliver that, in a sense. I couldn't have seen the sense of not having the ending as it is. And I think you're right. I think artisan cheese will figure highly on the agenda as they move forward.
Francis, I really appreciate the time you've taken while you've been here in Australia promoting the film. And I cannot urge people enough to go and see this film. I've been fortunate in the last week to 2 weeks to see two extraordinary films set in isolated areas. The Icelandic film Hartstein, Heartstone, about two younger boys growing up in a very rural part, a very distant part of the world. This is exactly the same. However, there's a much more beautiful ending, but both of them are exactly the same in that there's so much heart and soul from directors who are starting out first-timers and creating beautiful stories by gay men, about gay men, for the whole world. Francis Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Blair.